There is no peace in Afghanistan, but there is at least some talk of it. The United Nations is watching for a possible opportunity to reconcile the warring parties as the U.S. considers talks with the Taliban. All this talk about talking peace comes in the midst of the fighting season, as NPR's Quil Lawrence reports from Kabul.
As the full heat of summer bears down on Afghanistan, the fighting season is coming to a boil, with combat and civilian casualties reaching some of the highest levels in the 9-year-old conflict. That may not seem like the most auspicious moment for peace talks, but hints of direct contact between the U.S. and the Taliban continue to pop up in the international media and the Afghan press.
Those contacts are still informal, let's be frank, and they are still about talks, but they are very important.
Stefan de Mistura is the U.N. Special Representative in Afghanistan. He previously held the same job in Iraq. De Mistura says he believes conditions may be ripening after the death of Osama bin Laden and indications by the Obama administration that a negotiated settlement is now the goal.
You will not be able to forecast it and plan it on a table. You will suddenly have a what we call a hot negotiation environment. In other words, both sides hit each other while in fact sending feelers and indicating either through the intermediary of the Afghan government or with the assistance of the UN to actually start talking. That moment, I can't forecast it, but it's going to happen.
There's no clear evidence the Taliban is ready to come to the table, and many in Afghan society say they won't accept talks that might see a return of the Taliban's extremist policies. But before a peace process could even begin, there are a few formalities to contend with. After 9/11, the UN Security Council put the Taliban and al-Qaeda under sanctions as one regime. German ambassador to the UN, Peter Wittig, is chair of the Sanctions Committee on Taliban and al-Qaeda. He says some on the Security Council believe the two should be separated.
They point out that the Taliban have a more national agenda, focusing on Afghanistan, whilst the al-Qaeda terrorist network are acting on a global scale, and therefore the UN should take into account that reality.
At the same time, the UN will also be asked by the Afghan government to remove 50 Afghan individuals from a blacklist that carries a travel ban and an asset freeze. These formalities are important for several reasons. Many of the names on the UN's blacklist are former Taliban who are now living openly in Kabul, some of them as members of President Hamid Karzai's High Commission for Peace. Some of the people on the list are deceased. Others say they're wrongly accused. Even with the political will, the red tape has been formidable. If the UN does manage to take some names off the list and formally separate the Taliban from al-Qaeda, it may send a much-needed signal of goodwill, says Mullah Abdul Salam Zaif, the former Taliban ambassador to Pakistan.
For the Taliban, which is in the other side, I think it's good starting. This is important to create situation for them to trust and to prepare situation for dialogue.
But Zaif cautions that the Taliban militants fighting in the countryside don't care about any UN action, and they're still committed to driving the Americans out of Afghanistan. Zaif says he's in favor of peace talks, but what he's seen so far seems more like politicians trying to make the world believe the Taliban are coming to the table. He says his sources won't confirm that any significant meetings have taken place between the Americans and the Taliban.
It's rumor. It's rumor. I'm not believing it's reality.
Quil Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.